Okay, good morning. Very good to be here. As Margie said, we're really grateful for this opportunity to come, share with you. And yes, it is a long time. As you saw in the notes, it's a long time since we first came here. And that was in the days when Gladys, many of you I'm sure know Gladys, we still got a soft toy, one of our girls, Esther, when she was very small. Gladys, and together with others of the church, gave our girls soft toy. So we still got Glad. She's affectionately known as Glad Eyes. And we still have Glad Eyes. And Joyce, she remembers us also, faithfully supported us over many years. And out there in Guinea-Bissau. And then these last 4 years, we've been back here in this country, just down the road at the Bulls Road, the mission headquarters. And it only takes a quarter of an hour. So if any of you want a lovely time out in the countryside and beautiful grounds, you're very welcome to come and visit us there. Or if you just want to be on your own, just make the most of the grounds there. You're very welcome to do so. It's a lovely big mansion house and gardens there. We're very fortunate to be able to live there. Can I just add some notices here, or some bit of advert. On Friday the 7th, this is for folk 30 and under, so younger folk, 30s. So I'm not allowed to go along to this, I'm allowed to do the washing up. But we have in the evening what we call Café Weck, and it's for the younger folk to come. We turn the front lounge into like a coffee lounge, and soft lighting and music. And we invite somebody to come and speak on a particular missionary topic. And this time, it's a couple who've been working in the Middle East, amongst Muslims, obviously. And as we're coming up to Ramadan, just exploring that whole area and our outreach to Muslims. So if you can come, do come. Or if you know other folk who might be interested, please take one of these and encourage them to come. And then also something that we're doing together with other missions, I think it's Arab World Ministries too, for women who are interested in praying for the Muslim world. This is on the 13th of October, and you're very welcome to take one of these. There should be others of these at the back if you'd like to join in that. Okay, so we're going to be concentrating and thinking about mission. And obviously, we're quite a large international mission agency. Folk come from many different countries to go out to many different countries. And so I'd really like to, that's our passion. That's what we want to be able to get across to folk today. Now, I was trained in agriculture, and that's what I first went out to Guinea-Bissau as an agriculturalist. And so I like the passages in the Bible where Jesus refers to agricultural issues. And so I'd like us to read in John chapter 15. And we're going to read the first 5 verses and then verses 15 and 16. And I want us to concentrate particularly on verse 16. So let's read from John chapter 15. And verse 1, starting at verse 1. And this is that famous passage about the vine and the branches. And you remember Jesus has just been sitting in the upper room with his disciples for the Last Supper. And he's given a lot of teaching there. And it may be that this is continuing that teaching in the upper room. It may be that they're actually left the upper room and they're on their way to the Mount of Olives, into the Garden of Gethsemane. And maybe on the way, they happen to pass some small vineyards. And so Jesus, in his way, he takes what we can see and he brings a message out of that. We're not absolutely certain. But this is deep teaching that we receive here. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he trims clean, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And let's go to verse 15 now. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. Let's just pray. Then it's time for the Lord. Heavenly Father, I do want to thank you again that we can meet freely this morning to worship you, to praise you, thank you for what you've done in our own lives. We thank you that we can come to your word and look at it and seek to understand it better. Thank you that you are able to speak into our hearts. And we ask that you would do that even this morning. And I'd ask that you'd help me, give me liberty, freedom to be able to share what you've put on my heart. So Lord, we commit these following minutes to you. And thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes I go to North Portugal. We've got a small team there. And North Portugal, that's the home of port wine, you know, lots of vineyards. And even just single families, they would have their little vineyard, often on the side of a hill. And you see them caring patiently, caringly, making sure the vines are pruned properly, making sure the manure is dug in. And in that way, with that care, that time taken, they ensure that they get a good harvest each year. And here Jesus is talking about God the Father, being that good gardener. And Jesus is the true vine, and we are the branches and the fruit, if we're linked in close to Jesus. And in verse 16, we're going to see how we are chosen and appointed to go. And then my second point is going to be on going to bear fruit. And then he says, not just fruit, but fruit that will last. And so, you can see that there's a bunch of grapes there. Get you in the picture. Appointed to go. Who's chosen to go? Who's appointed to go? Who do you think? Who is Jesus saying? Who is he speaking to?
Everyone.
Everyone, yeah. He was speaking to his disciples, but we take that now as his disciples. It's everyone, isn't it? To go. I don't know when you're asked to go somewhere, whether you always, that's somebody jumping for joy, it's supposed to be. I don't know if you've seen some of these programs where, you know, you've won a holiday to Mallorca or something, and you, great, yeah, jump for joy. You've been chosen, you've been appointed, you're the lucky one to go. Do we always jump for joy when the Lord calls us and appoints us? You're the one who's got to go. Go and see that neighbour around the road. I want you to go. Yeah, Lord, I'm really pleased I can go and serve you in that way. In John 20, verse 21, it says, Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. We're the ones who Jesus sends out into the world. Wherever he sends us, he's sending us out to go and serve and be Jesus to them. And where does he send us to? Where does Jesus send you to? Where has he spoken to you individually and said, I want you to go? Where does he send us to? Do you know that verse in Acts, chapter 1, verse 8? You will be my witnesses in yeah, and but before then? In Jerusalem, that's right. And then in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's right. Okay, so it starts there in Jerusalem. So let's put that into context here. Where's our Jerusalem, if you like? It's Northolt, isn't it? Where we are now. So it's the children's playground, or it's a place of work. Maybe you work in the city, I don't know, or Uxbridge, I don't know. Wherever it is, that's the place God sent you. You are God's ambassador, his mouthpiece in that place, with your neighbours. You are the one who's God has sent, appointed to go there. Maybe he's been unsettling you. Maybe he's been saying to you, I want you to go somewhere else. Or maybe he's been telling you to come here. Maybe you've just recently come here to Northolt. Maybe you've come from somewhere else in England. Maybe you've come from somewhere abroad and you've come here to Northolt. Do you see yourself as someone God has appointed to come here to be his mouthpiece, to be an influence for good here in this place? I trust each one of us can say that. Yeah, God has chosen me, he's appointed me to go. And this is where I'm to be, to serve him for the time being. And when he starts unsettling you, getting you ready to go, I trust you'll be ready for that, and you will go. And if he sends you to Guinea-Bissau, I'll be the one jumping for joy and praising the Lord. But wherever he sends us, may we be ready to go, the folk pleased to go. And we know the world's a big place. We know that there's many, many people who still haven't heard news. They say like 20% of the world's population still have not had a chance to properly understand the gospel in a way that they could respond to it. That's a lot of people. A lot of people around the world who still need to hear. And so that's why Margie and I are still involved in mission. Now we're at the home end and we're involved in helping people, preparing people, getting them sent out. I guess the places that remain now are often the tough places. We often hear people saying to us, oh, do we still need to send missionaries abroad? Don't we need missionaries rather to come here to the UK? And yes, we do need people to come here. But we also need to see people going abroad. There's so much work to do. So many areas of the world where there is no pastor, where there is no evangelist, where there's no church, and people that still need to receive the good news for the first time. So, we're called to go. And we're called to go and bear fruit. Okay, I don't know that that's come out very well, but it's a basket of fruit and vegetables. I don't know how many of you have your veg patch. We've got a veg patch there at Bulstrode. Very pleased to be able to have fresh fruit. And if you have a veg patch, or you have your veg patch, you put in the work there to get something to grow. You want something from it, don't you? If you just go there and you have all your nice runner beans, and they're all giving those nice red or pink flowers, but you don't actually have any beans, you're not a happy veg grower. You are growing those for fruit. Isn't that right? And in the same way, Jesus sends us out, but he just wants us to go out as people who drink cups of coffee or whatever. He's sending us out to bear fruit. Now, what is the fruit? We're not all going to be turning into pumpkins or looking like apples. What is the fruit that Jesus is talking about here? Any ideas? Yeah, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And what do we see from that? Because there's that famous, the fruits of the Spirit, aren't there? And the famous verse that I put up there, haven't I? Galatians 5, 22, 23. Can you remember any of those fruits of the Spirit? Yep. Gentleness. Self-control. Good. That's quite a lot of them, isn't it? Fruits of the Spirit. If Jesus lives in us, and we're in Jesus, we're supposed to be showing some of these fruits of the Spirit that's in us. Should be evident. When people come across us, when they meet us, get to know us, they should be seeing a difference. Yeah, these folk are bearing, showing the fruits of the Spirit in them. Trust that's true of each one of us, isn't it? People are attracted to us. Say, yeah, if that's what Jesus does in them, I want Jesus to do the same thing in me too. I want to get to know Jesus. In Colossians 1, verse 10, there's a verse that says, "And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work." So there, it's not only our attitudes, the way we react to different people, our character, but it's also in what we do, that it be something that is bearing fruit in every good work, in order that we may please the Lord. If you look at verse 8 in this same chapter in John 15, you'll see there, it says, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." So we bring glory to our Father, our Heavenly Father, by the fruit that we show, whether that's in our character, whether it's by what we actually do. And this is what we want to be seeing done by Christians, not only in here in Northolt, but also when we send them abroad. When we were out in Guinea-Bissau, we were there to bear fruit. We weren't there just to have a nice time in the sun. When we send missionaries out, and praise the Lord, this week we've got a couple going out to Spain. We've got another couple going out to Burkina Faso. One of the privileges we have there at the headquarters is to regularly be seeing folk going out to different countries of the world. And but we're not just sending them for them to have a good time. We're sending them to bear fruit. And I guess there's a mission agency, the Home End. We want to make sure that folk are really appointed, really chosen by God to go. So if you were to apply to WEC, we would take you through a screening process. We'd want to check you out, get in touch with the church leaders, get in touch with the folk who you've been working with in the past, wanting to find out about you, seeing that you are somebody who is good at getting on with people. You are somebody who enjoys sharing about your faith. You are somebody who's going to be able to cope in a very cold culture, a very cold climate, hot climate. Because we want you to be effective when you get to the country that God's sending you to. And once we've checked that out, then we want to give you as much training and preparation for that, both in this country and when you actually arrive in the country, put you into a team, get you into language learning, learning about the culture, orientating you well so that you can be effective. But the most important thing is that each of our workers are joined to Jesus and they are in Jesus. As it says there in verse 5 when we read this, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." That's a sobering thought, isn't it? For each one of us, whatever we're doing, are we linked to Jesus? Is Jesus living in me? Am I living in Jesus? Because without that, whatever we do, it's not going to have a lasting importance. "You can do nothing," Jesus said. And so that's the number one important thing for each one of us as Christ's workers, that Jesus is in us in order that we can be effective. There's a couple who live not far from here, though they're in a different country. They actually live in Bologna in France. And they've lived in France for a long time. They're now, I think they're 70s this year, isn't that right? If you saw them, they're short folk, nothing very attractive to them. You'd say just an elderly couple. What did I say? Short, sorry. Nothing against being short either. They're folk who've been there in France for many years, used by Jesus, and effective. They've been in Dunkirk, seen a church established there. We had a whole coachload from that church come and visit us at Bulstrode last year. Last year they moved to Bologna, and they started a little church there, got a little property. Now this year, just a year later, they're crying out for we've got to find a larger property, because we're bursting at the seams. There's a couple sold out for Jesus, allowing Jesus to work in and through them, and seeing great things done in a part of France that's tough, really tough. France is a tough country. And I guess that's the challenge to each of us. Are we really open to allow Jesus to work in us and through us in that same way? I put there at the bottom just a little church. This was a church that was set up by one of our colleagues down in the south of Guinea-Bissau, in a place called Kassim, amongst Muslim tribes. And that's one church. There are other little churches that have been set up as well, bearing fruit. But not just bearing fruit. We want to see fruit that's going to last. It's going to keep going. And not only it's going to keep going, but it's going to reproduce again. We were privileged to be debriefing. One of our jobs is debriefing people. When they come back from the field, whether it's long-term or short-term, we get to talk to them and ask them questions, find out how it's gone. And there was a couple came back last week from Spain. They'd just gone for a short-term mission. And they were saying how they'd been up in the north of Spain in the Basque area, tough area, and how they'd been to a celebration of a new church that had just been established. And in that service, there was also an American team that had gone out just for a couple of weeks. And they were saying how they'd been doing evangelism and how they'd seen 350 people come to the Lord. And all the missionaries who'd been working there for many years, they all started looking at each other. 350 people. That's pretty good going. But where are they all? You know, can't see a lot of new people here in this church at the moment. And that's the test, isn't it? We need to see folk not just receiving the good news, but standing firm, growing in the Lord, continuing to reach out to others. So fruit that's going to last. And often that means going in for the long haul. Continuing. Matthew 13, verse 23, you know the parable about the sower. And when Jesus explains about the good soil, he says, "But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown." And I often think that kind of soil is one that's been really well prepared, really well ploughed. In our veg patch, so to go back to our veg patch, but we double dig it. Do you know what double digging means? You go down two spits, right? Really deep. It takes a lot of energy, especially when you do it for the first time. But it's all about preparing the ground, putting in the muck, putting in the manure. And so you get a good crop. And that means years, often, of preparation. One of our workers at Bulstrode has been out to the Middle East, to a country there, where we have a maternity clinic. And one of our workers there has been there for over 40 years, faithfully serving as a midwife. And she hasn't seen one single person, a national person from that country, come to the Lord yet. But she says, I'm not leaving until I do. And so she's somebody who's committed herself for the long haul, preparing the ground. Lots of people there in that town where that maternity hospital is, they know her. They've been brought into the world by her. She's much loved. And she just longs that they would not only love her, but they would grow to love Jesus as well. And she's had many opportunities to share about Jesus. And she's trusting the Lord that, yes, there will be fruit, and fruit that will last. You have been, as a church, committed to us for the long haul. 20 years is a long time. You've been supporting us faithfully, praying for us. And we're grateful to that. Seeing us through the tough times when we were out in Guinea-Bissau, things that we were able to do there. We were down in the south in a place called Mpada. There was a young man there called Jambu. He was just a teenager then, young teenager. And he would play his part in with the other young people in the church. He'd come along faithfully to the Bible studies midweek as well as on Sundays. He then went on to further education in Bissau, the capital, where we moved to. And he came along to the same little church that we were involved in. And he went, he was now into his early 20s. And then God spoke to him about going down to the south of the country where that church was planted, Kasim. And Chambu's worked there as a teacher. And he was also given the responsibilities of going out on Sundays to the different little fellowships out in the villages to encourage them that had just been started up. And then God spoke to him about going, becoming a pastor, and being trained up for the pastorship. So he went to the Bible Institute. And now he's been given a grant, and he's in Brazil, being trained there as a pastor, but also in cross-cultural mission work, so that he can then go back to Guinea-Bissau and reach out to the unreached tribes there. So you've had a little part to play in the life in Chambu through us. And we thank the Lord for that. And I hope you can see that's what I mean by fruit that's going to last. The church in Guinea-Bissau is now established, independent, going on, sending out their own missionaries. And we trust that that is then going to keep going. The places that they start churches, they will then be reaching out. And so that's all linked up with like the illustration Margie gave us. When we kind of multiply like that, we see fruit that lasts and reproduces. So the good news of Jesus Christ gets around the world to all the different parts. So thank you. And may we continue to be those who are open to the Lord guiding us. When he says go, that we are obedient and we go. And where we are, we trust that that's where God has sent us. And we go there to bear fruit. And we go there to bear fruit that will last. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great plan for this world. How you long to see women, men, children from all nationalities, all tribes, all language groups coming to know you, having their lives transformed, turned upside down, given a hope and a reason. Lord, we long for that. Thank you that we can play our part. Thank you that you are in us and we are in you. Lord, wherever you send us, may we be your faithful servants, your faithful ambassadors. May we be those who bear fruit for you, living lives that are attractive, that show the love and joy of being Christians. May we be those who are only too happy to share our testimonies, only too glad to share our stories about what you've done in our lives. May we be those who see others coming to know you. May we be those who see folk really standing for you, fruit that lasts and that they in turn go out and share the good news with others. Lord, we want this good news to spread like wildfire all around the world. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.